Sponsored by Window Nation. The Phillies beat the Braves 5-4 in their series opener last night. Phils were down 4-0 until the bottom of the sixth when Brandon Marsh hit a three-run homer to make it a one-run game. Nick Castellanos delivered the game-winning home run for the second time in the last three games, and Jeff Hoffman closed it out. Alec Bohm left the game early after an apparent injury to his hand during his first at-bat. The team says his x-rays came back negative. Some Eagles roster news: after making the final 53, James Bradberry suffered a leg injury in practice Wednesday and will be out for 6 to 8 weeks. It's Window Nation's anniversary sale. Buy two windows, get two free. Pay nothing for 24 months and an extra $250 credit. WindowNation.com. Weather today: cloudy with a high of 75. It's currently 67 degrees. To listen to 94 WIP, just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Great job. Joe Wachter crushing it back in the studio today. A little Miserlou, of course, from Pulp Fiction. I think even Devin would recognize that from the preview, maybe. The Pulp Fiction song here. Does this mean anything to you?
I know what this song is.
Okay.
But I didn't know it was...
My mom,
Pulp shout out Fiction. Robin. So she does want me to watch, and she wants to watch with me maybe tonight if it's rainy. She said, I was 3 years old when Pulp Fiction came out. So
you were, yes.
Cut me a little break here.
Fair.
Okay?
No, yeah. Fair.
Should I have seen it before now? Yes, but I was young when it was.
13-year-old James saw it in the movie theater.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what was it? Was it PG-13 or
no,
R?
It was very R.
Did your parents know this?
Oh, yeah. I watched Basic Instinct when I was like 8 years old. My parents were very cavalier with ratings.
Okay.
Yes. They had no problem showing me all kinds of movies throughout my life. But yeah, I don't know how I got into the theater.
Basic Instinct must have just taken me in. What age?
I was 8 or 9.
Wait,
wow. I think it might have been 9.
Was that in
I think
the
it was
theater?
9. No. That one was my dad rented it for me and a buddy. I'll tell you this. So I was nine. He rented it for me and a buddy, and my buddy's mom was not happy with my dad.
I would imagine.
Yep. So, yeah, my dad was a little loose, played a little loose, fast and loose with that kind of stuff.
Did All right. you?
Yes.
Did you and the buddy watch that movie alone?
We were 9 years old.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you watched it with supervision.
My dad was there. My dad was there. Yeah.
I don't know if that makes it easier.
I don't think that makes it any better. No. Yeah. No, I'm with you. And look, my daughter is asking me to watch The Ring, and she's super into scary stuff. And she's
what?
Can I watch The
Zoe?
Ring?
Zoe.
I'm no.
Man. What? That's way inappropriate.
I'm not showing I said no. Hey. I'm just saying.
How does she even know what The Ring is?
She must have seen some reference to it and
The
something.
Ring is literally it's not why I don't like scary movies, but I learned my lesson.
She wants to watch The Ring. She wants to watch
I'm still scared
all kinds
that.
Of horror movies. I mean, she's
got to be careful with Zoe. Babies, little baby girls. I understand. It gets creepy. I'm just saying, my youngest, she's my baby. She's probably 7 years old. There was a point in time where she would wake me up every morning.
Terrified?
She would wake me up whispering in my ear, you're going to die today.
Oh, my goodness.
Did I tell you guys this?
No!
This is from watching, Criminal Minds and CSI and all of these, shows, forensic shows on television. My 7-year-old, the first grader, is now coming in with these harbingers of death every morning. Was creepy.
Can I just tell you? This is exactly what's going to happen to me.
I know.
My daughter, I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. Zoe, it is what it is. She walks around, she'll be like, I'm Wednesday Adams.
Wednesday is fascinating.
I'm a creepy girl.
Yeah.
I just want to be a creepy girl. Something like that. She's into it. It is what it is.
Yep.
She'll swing by later.
It's are we sure your daughter's not pranking you with these freeze pops? Making you think you're doing this.
Boy. What a
when she's
great
walking,
boy.
You're dropping him in there.
They are concerned.
Mila
is
just waking, Dad, what's going on? This is hilarious.
Look, we're trying to eat healthier at my house right now, so they've been trying to get me off the freeze pop wagon for a long time.
This is how you do it. Make you scared of them.
See, crack the block.
You think this is really feasible?
Yeah, you're sleeping through all the night, but yeah, they're putting free spots in your room.
Your daughters are older now and stuff. Like, this is the kind of thing Zoe would do to me if she could, like, execute it if she were older. She's not. Like, she loves to prank. Like, loves to, like, this is.
I'm telling you, I don't know.
Let me just say this. I don't think it's a 0% chance that Wechter's on to something.
I just feel like I don't know that I've conveyed appropriately the mess that has been made at times. Like, I don't think that they would intentionally make some of these mess. We're talking about like 10. There are 10 freeze pops that have been cut open but not consumed. So that's a lot of liquid. Yeah. That's a lot of liquid.
A lot of freeze pop juice.
Brightly colored
kid
juice.
Me would be so excited about that.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Well, we're going to get to the bottom of it, I believe it. All right, 215-592-9494. Our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. Are you feeling more confident or concerned about the Eagles heading into the 2024 opener, which is 1 week from today? Coming up in a couple minutes, we're going to play you some really interesting audio from Jalen Hurts yesterday in the show. First, let's go back to the phones and talk to Andy in New York. What up, Andy?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Andy.
All right. So, first of all, I think this will be the first time in the history of the morning show that anybody has had to inform the audience and Jimmy that Emma is not Shakespeare. It's Jane Austen.
Oh, Jane Austen. That's what I meant. That was a really bad job of me. I can't believe I said Shakespeare. What am I doing? Thank you, Andy.
Okay.
It's very early in the morning. That is very bad job by me. Thank you. Emma is absolutely Jane Austen.
My literature major wife will be very proud of me.
Thank you. Yes, you are correct.
Clueless is Emma?
I'm embarrassed. Yeah, Clueless is Emma. It's
okay.
Jane Austen. I'm embarrassed. Thank you, Andy.
But on the positive, my dad did something like your dad. He let me and my brother watch Eddie Murphy Delirious when I was 9 years old.
Hell yeah.
Ooh,
hell yeah.
That's formative.
Trust me, I was definitely watching that pretty young as well. I could still quote that. Like the vast majority of Delirious and Raw, for honestly, like I could still quote it verbatim. Unbelievable.
Yeah, permanently damaged by it.
Hold on. A little contradiction there. You lead in as like, well, actually, that's Jane Austen, but I am permanently messed up by Eddie Murphy. Those two things, I don't know if they jive,
well,
Andy.
Much like the Philadelphia Phillies, I am a man of many, many, many facets, some good, some bad. I'm a little concerned last night about the fact that Bryce's, in my opinion, best play of the night was that bunt. And it worked. He moved the runner along. But I just don't see what's happening with the top of the lineup and whether or not – I mean, right now the bottom of the lineup is carrying us and we're getting better pitching than we did in July and early August. But – what is going to turn it around for Schwarber, Turner, and Harper, and or can they turn it around?
Andy, it's a great question. I think with Harper, like we've been kind of positing that we think it might be a little wrist thing he's got going on or something that he's nicked up with. I think with Harper specifically, it can really be a switch thing. I mean, we've seen now, was it 2 years in a row coming into this year, he has gotten hurt, come back from injury, and not kind of gotten going right away. It's taken him a month. It's taken him a few weeks, whatever it is. And then obviously 2022, just bang, the playoffs start, and he's Bryce Harper. So I'm a little concerned about the way Bryce has looked. The history with Bryce makes me feel like he's going to get it back on track. Same thing with Schwarber. Schwarber, you know, he'll go through some stretches, but for the most part, over the course of the season, he's been pretty consistent. The Turner thing is weird. Like, Turner, I don't ever remember a guy who, like, he's second in the National League in batting average, but also can go ice cold. Like, he's one of the, it seems like so mechanical with him, where when it kind of gets out of whack, it's hard for him to kind of get back onto, like, the swing plane that he needs. But, look, I think this is just one of those things, Andy, with this team where we're just going to have to accept that they got a lot of guys who go hot and cold.
No, it makes sense, and I think that Turner is, interestingly, the one that concerns me most because we've seen him go into these funks where it just doesn't end. Like, I mean, for two-thirds of the season last year.
Yeah.
But I'll keep my fingers crossed. Okay, so moving on to my 90s character. And you stole mine because Jules Winfield, absolutely. And I actually once had a wallet made.
Did you have the – we can't say it on the air, but you got the wallet made? Well, bad. That's it. We'll stop there. That is so cool, man.
Exactly.
That is so cool.
I have no clue.
Yeah, you will.
Okay.
My character is Furious Styles from Boys in the Hood, Lawrence Fishburne.
That's a great answer. Really, that you know, really that's a 90s movie we don't talk enough about. Boys in the Hood is an amazing, amazing
movie. And guess what?
Never seen it, right?
I've seen it.
Hey!
Great movie.
The smile on Devin Caney's face right there. She was so proud to be able to say, I saw
every
that
time
one,
I get an answer that I know, I'm like, I know that one. Oh, my God, I know that one.
It is a great movie. And Lawrence Fishburne is fantastic in it. All right, 215-592-9494. We're back to the phones in a sec. Jalen Hurts. I thought this was so fascinating. On with us yesterday. John asked him a question. You'll hear the question. I thought a pretty, you know, simple question, really. Like, not too much to it. And I thought the answer Jalen gave was fascinating on many levels about how last season played out and kind of where they're going from here. Here's Jalen Hurts on with us yesterday talking about pass protection and the blitz.
The pass protection difference between this year and last year. Now you're working with a new center. How has it been working with Cam Jurgens as your center? And how do you like the new pass protection scheme?
I don't know. If it's necessarily new, I don't know if that's the word, but I think there's a different approach in some areas and some facets. I think Cam has really done a really good job just taking that role on and really taking on the responsibilities of what comes with leading that group. You know, I think in the end, I think when you look at this upcoming season and what you may have seen from years past, it's just different autonomy in different places. You know, we had a great player in Jason Kelce who took on a lot of responsibility. And as a result of that, I was told not to worry about a lot of things. My eagerness to learn and all of that over the years, you know, kind of was halted because of who we had. But now times are different, and I'm excited for that journey for this whole team.
So I thought
did he say my development?
Fascinating answer. He said my learning in that area was halted. Now, and look, you could argue, like, you know, you want to keep learning no matter what, and I'm sure, you know, pay attention to what's happening and this and that, and there's many different ways to take that. But, John, what did you make of him going there? I mean, basically, and again, I didn't take it as a shot at Kelce at all, but he is basically saying, like, Jason Kelce was in charge of that. That wasn't my role last year. That's what the coaches wanted me to do, and that's why I played out.
Like,
what do you make of that?
This might be part of what he had issue with.
It might be. It might be. Because he's getting killed for the blitz. And he's
bringing this up, that means a lot to me. It was not adequately taken care of last year. He did not have the plan he needed to protect himself, and now we find out that he wasn't even protecting himself. That was all on the center because they told him it was all on the center. That's just the way it was going to be. Like, it feels like he just wasn't completely on the same page
clearly,
the coaching staff on this. And it could look, I'm not saying we put our finger on the source of the problem. I'm saying problems like this add up and become the type of thing that submarines a team that's 10-1 and you go on a losing streak and you can't figure out why. You can't figure out why people aren't getting along, why they're not happy. Look, this is every team I've ever been on with the West Coast offense, with the way that protections are called and communicated. It's a combination of the quarterback and the center. When I was out in in Oakland, we had a really good center. His name was Barrett Robbins.
Yeah.
He was a machine in terms of
the best in the league that
like,
a couple years.
He was great. He was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Like Jason Kelce, he could somehow see all 22 guys, tell you exactly what they're doing, tell you what the coverage is, tell you where the blitz is coming from before the snap. And that's in a three-point stance with guys all clustered around him, not even standing up straight. You know, like, this is an incredible gift that Jason Kelce had. So I can understand why, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Jason Kelce's been the guy who's been calling the protection for years around here. You know, before Jalen arrived as the quarterback, I can understand why coaches would say, hey, you know what? We're going to take this off your plate. You're a young quarterback. We're going to focus
on
some other things. Yeah. Doesn't seem like Jalen was completely happy about it. But I guess we'll always speculate. We'll always wonder. I'm glad that it sounds as though this is more of a collaborative effort now between him and Cam. And I do think it's a good thing that he feels like he's, you know, learning and challenged. And this is a very introspective quarterback that we've got here, folks.
I think so, too. It's fascinating to listen to him talk. Last thing on that, and then we'll go back to the phones. But ideally, look, it's whoever's best at it, right? If you have a Jason Kelce, if you have a Barrett Robbins in that case, whatever. But, like, in a perfect world, you want your quarterback to do that stuff, right? Like, the bet, because he's up there, he's looking, he's running things out. Like, theoretically, like, if in a, the best way to run it, obviously you want both guys to be good at it, but would you say that the best case scenario is that your quarterback's the one doing that stuff?
Would you say the best case scenario is Tom Brady?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Brady, yeah. Breeze, one of those guys who goes out and is like, bang, Manning, like, bang.
You see,
I see
it
this.
Work great, yeah. And when the guy at the helm is the one who's making the call. Yes. But you've also seen it work great when the center is declaring who the mic is, and then they both discuss it. You know, they both can make the call. You know, the center can communicate it to the O-line. The quarterback can communicate it to the backs and wide receivers with his voice and with his hand signals. They can both do some of this. I expect that's more of what we'll see this season. But both guys are really – I think Joe DeCamera had a misinformed opinion to some degree as to why Jalen wasn't making these calls. You know, like last year, the protection was bad because the protection was not conceived of properly from the get-go. Like, Jalen didn't have a chance to be great last year because the coordinator didn't coordinate it properly, didn't give him enough tools, didn't give him the protection to feel comfortable back there to deliver the ball where it needed to go. This year, that's not going to be a problem. This year, he's got assistance if he makes a call that's not the right. Like, Cam Jurgens is right there. He understands. He can help. He can, you know, collaborate and make everything all right. I'm really excited about the fact that the protection will be good and there will be a pocket, and you'll see Jalen step up and make throws this year instead of just trying to escape to the sideline every time. It feels like he didn't trust the protection for a good chunk of that downturn last season. And now, after having listened to him talk yesterday, we have a little more, I don't know, understanding of the way he might have been feeling at the time. He didn't feel like he was fully involved with this protection the way he wanted to be. And
totally.
To him, that's
so he feels
a problem.
Like uninvested, too. Yeah. No, it makes a ton of sense. It was honestly, I think, one of the most fascinating things we have heard, maybe the most fascinating thing we've heard about why it didn't kind of work last season and what could have gone into why Jalen felt the way he did and all that. It was fascinating stuff. 215-592-9494 coming up in a little bit. We'll hear from A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the Brazil thing. Guess what? They're not psyched about it. You're going to hear that coming up. Let's go back to the phones and talk to our good friend, Black Gritty. What up, O?
Morning, guys. It still sounds so good. I'm trying to figure out what the difference is. I really can't nail it. I'm trying to figure out why it's in.
Yeah, I know. But, well, today we're broadcasting from Borgata. That's
well,
what's different.
Well go, you might as well go put 1,000 on black on your way out for your boy. You know what I mean? When you double up, give you that 50%. You know what I'm saying? That's how good I'm feeling for you. That's how good I'm feeling. So as being an
I do like parent, to do that, Black Gritty. That is fun.
Man of my own heart. I did it 4 straight years after turning 21. I won every year until I lost. I never did it again. But I walked in on my birthday, put a G down, won, walked out. Anywho. yeah, until I lost. Now I don't do it no more.
But, yeah, yeah.
My dad used to let me watch anything I wanted to. So I have my daughter. You know I'm raising a bench out here.
Oh, I know.
We're watching Rated R stuff. I'm going to tell you my trick, right? We'd be in the theater. If I put my hand on her knee, she closes her eyes. If I squeeze her knee, she closes her ears and closes her eyes. And when I tap her, she can look at it again. So it gets you past like those couple of moments in the movie where you're like, hey, that smoochy-boochy going on. Let me shut that down a little bit. You don't need to see that. Or some super-duper violent, you don't have to listen to it. Because your imagination already runs wild anyway. That'll help you get through that. Let that girl watch The Ring, because The Ring is like that. Don't be scared of the kid. Don't be scared, Jay. Let's watch The Ring.
Hey, look.
It does
like,
feel like they appropriately close their eyes
so
or leave the room.
We watched a little bit of Scream. We watched the opening of Scream. It was kind of like the bargain that I could make with her, and I didn't watch her any of the stabbing or any of that. I closed her eyes for that. but just like the scare of whatever. She was like, this isn't scary at all, Dad. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, rein it down.
Zoe.
Yeah.
But she's a beast. But I'm
she's like, why are you covering my eyes? Why are you covering my eyes?
I just never heard of a child like being like, Dad, can I please watch The Ring?
Yeah,
please.
Yeah,
like, it's usually played with Barbies.
Well, look, it's going to work out. Oh, you'll get this, Black Gritty, because, you know, you go to movies with your daughter. Like, that's something you guys do together. Like, as I mentioned, Emily hates scary movies. Mm-hmm. I adore horror movies. I watch any movie if it's like, I don't care. Just put it on. I'm in. So I might have a future horror movie, buddy. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, you got a road dog.
That's right.
So let me tell you a few things about sports so people listening don't get mad at me. Last night, I yelled at the Phils. I turned the TV off. Next thing I know, they winning. So whatever that happens, I can't watch like the next two games.
I like this. All right, turn it off next time. Keep doing it.
Yeah, my suspicious. I mean, I got to keep my suspicious. And then the thing I liked most about the interview yesterday, I don't know if you heard it, when Jalen said, when I was in college, I was with two well-oiled machines. And I always think to myself, like, imagine going to war with real generals like Saban, a real general. And then you come back from wartime and you're at boot camp with high school Harry Nick. And he's like, rah, rah, I'm going to go to war one day, too. And Nick's out here partying. And Jalen's like, I actually been to war with real generals, bro. Like, stop waving on the sideline and partying and stuff like that. Like, we got to get focused. The fact that he said at two college programs I've had that stuck out to me when he said that. I was like, okay, so your pro experience isn't the well-oiled machine yet?
It's like, a really interesting point, though. It is. And I obviously couldn't be more different on the sidelines between Nick Saban and Nick Sirianni. I'm going to talk about two Nick S's. It could not be more different. What I will say, though, is I will say that not everything works the same way for everyone. It's like, you know, when you're teaching kids or whatever, like you have to reach the people where they are. Some kids learn better by a kick in the ass. Some kids learn better by loving them up and stuff like that. So I do think that it is a fine. I get what you're saying, and I think you're overall right, and I think that's why Jalen feels the way he does. But I don't think that, like, I don't think it means that Nick Sirianni's vibe and the way he goes about it doesn't work for other players.
And just to back you up, I'll say this too. Not everything is wartime, right? Like, you get some guys that are just hard-nosed guys and can't come back home and relax. Yep. There has to be a balance between the two. So I'm hoping that the general and Jalen and the lax and Nick can come together and they roll together and it works out. So you're absolutely right. Not everything is for all people. So it's just something I nitpicked out of that. Because Richie was out there throwing out so many questions. I mean, you had to, like, listen. You had to focus. You had to go back and listen to it again to get all the stuff that was in the answer out there. I don't have a 90s answer because I'm a terrible person and I just woke up. I'm about to go back to sleep. Love you guys.
It's just good to hear your voice, man. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Great to hear you.
Great stuff. Yeah. Speaking of last night, he mentioned he turned it off. So Owen didn't get to see it. If you missed it, you can hear it right now, how it played out. The biggest Phillies win of the season. The Phillies really, John, I don't know about you, but shockingly lifeless for those first 5.5 innings. Like Sanchez was fine, you know, the error.
Well, it was Charlie Morton doing some painting.
But it's still Charlie Morton. I mean, there's a guy we've seen the Phillies rough up before. We've seen it, and it's old Charlie Morton.
Really old.
I know.
But respected.
No, he's Charlie Morton knows how to pitch.
Charlie Morton knows how to pitch, knows how to pitch us. You know, like knows the... Does
for
his
sure.
homework, you know, smart, yeah. just smart.
Yeah, I agree.
And I guess we just sort of bided our time, and we were patient with things, and it wasn't the normal stars who were able to elevate us yesterday. Thank the Lord, it was Brandon Marsh. And, of course, Casty. Once again, Casty has been such, like,
he's been
godsend.
Their most consistent hitter for 2 months.
He's
like
been
Nick
so,
Castellanos has been
while
the most consistent.
Else stunk,
I can't believe I'm saying it.
And I can't believe it either because I have bemoaned his offense. I have bemoaned his approach. I could for how long? Every time he was up, I was screaming at the TV because he's swinging low and away. Now pitchers don't seem to have anywhere they can pitch him. Like he really is, and I love the fact that he works harder than everyone else. I love the fact that he now has Johan Rojas out there working hard, like in the batting cage before every outing. Like that is spreading. It makes me half wonder what if Topper, even though Castellanos was struggling early this year, we were complaining, about why doesn't he ever get a night off? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's because he's setting a great example for the way he works. Mm-hmm. Even though he's not getting a night off, he's showing everyone in that clubhouse how much it means to him, and he's busting his butt. And, man, if it doesn't pay off, and I think Rojas is seeing that he can actually have an impact with the way he prepares because of watching Casty. This is great. This is exactly what you want from your old heads, from your leaders in that clubhouse.
Totally, totally. And look, I think Nick just, he's like a baseball head. I think he's one of those guys that there's nothing else to him. Let's hear how it played out last night. 4-0 heading into the bottom of the sixth. The Phillies just unable to get anything going. Get a couple base runners on. One out, two on. Brandon Marsh steps to the plate, down 4-0.
1-0. And a swing and a high fly ball left center field up the alley. Harris going back to the track, looking up. It's gone! And he's done it again! Brandon Marsh with a three-run home run to the opposite field. And it's a ball game again as the Phillies are down a run. It's 4-3.
And it was a ball game again. Next inning, Nick Cat, the aforementioned, works his butt off. Leader, as John Ritchie said, our guy Nick Castellanos, really, again, it is weird to think about, but he has been the most consistent hitter on the team for the last couple months. And Cassie came to the plate, and it wasn't just a home run. It was a tank shot to center.
Holmes kicks and deals, and the pitch swung on, driven to center. It's deep. Harris is back at the track, at the wall. It's gone into the hedges, and Castellanos has turned the game around. With a two-run home run here in the bottom of the seventh inning, it is his 19th of the season. 5-4 Phillies.
And the bullpen, got to give enough credit this morning. Ryan Kirkering, an inning and a third, big-time stuff. Strom comes in, shuts it down the eighth. And
both
just
studs.
Just studs. And then Jeff Hoffman just looking nasty, finishing out the ninth.
Yeah.
And the 3-2 pitch, swing and a bouncing ball, slowly hit. Sosa charges, gloves, transfers, throws. He got him. Ball game's over, and the Phillies come from behind and beat the Braves in the opening game of this big four-game series. Two late homers, one for Marsh, one for Castellanos, and the Phillies bullpen with a 5-4 win.
Imagine if you're the Braves.
Oh, yes.
Imagine the way that feels. We might have just completely crushed. We just chopped the knees out from the Braves season. If this were us on the losing end, we would be lamenting this. Oh my, can we rebound? This could be it, folks.
Let me give you a stat that takes it even further, John. I just saw this stat on Twitter. This is from Tim Reynolds from the AP on Twitter. Ready for this? The Braves led the Phillies 4-0 last night. The Braves had gone, in the last decade, 55-0 versus the Phillies when leading by four or more runs at any point in a baseball game. So last time, for the first time in a decade, the Phillies came back from four runs or more against the Braves to win a baseball game. First time in a decade. That's how wild what happened last night was, John.
I'll take it. sounds good to me.
They are now 55-1 in the last decade in those situations.
It is pretty unlikely that we were able to do what we did. And, again, if I'm the Braves, this is really tough. They've had to endure a lot this year. You know, we know about the injuries to their big
all of
boppers.
Them. I mean, freaking Riley now, too's out.
Imagine what that would feel like for us if we've got Bryce out, you know, Wheeler out.
And then Boehm goes out.
Yeah, now you're missing Alec Boehm.
Someone
else is banged up, and last night while you're trying to claw your way back into the division race, you just let it slip away. Mm-hmm. Because of some great play, some great cohesive team approach by the Phillies when it mattered most at the end of that game. It wasn't great the whole game, but it was great when it mattered.
I got it done. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a couple minutes, you'll hear A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on going to Brazil. We've talked about as fans that we're not happy that the Eagles are starting the season in Brazil. Well, it doesn't sound like they are either. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's talk to our buddy Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, hey.
Yo, fellas.
Yo, Chuck.
Oh, Dev. What's up, Dev? How you doing?
What up, Dev?
Hi, Chuck. I'm honored I finally get a shout-out from you, because for a while you wouldn't, you know, say hi to me when you called in, so thank you.
Well, he's rectified that.
Yeah.
By the way, Chuck.
Why was that, Chuck? What's up with that?
It's a lot of y'all in the studio.
Chuck, I don't blame you. Chuck, I have no problem. I always appreciate when people, like, will go on the air and say hi to everyone else. I'm like, yeah, you don't have to say hi to me again. Like, we talk off the air. I totally get it, Chuck. I'm with you. I also like, Chuck, that you go Dev. I feel like I'm the only one who calls her Dev. Everyone's like DK or Devin. Like,
yeah, that's
true. WIP, I feel like I'm the only one who calls you Dev. Yeah. I love Dev. I think it's a great
I'm fine
name.
With Dev. Good. Fine with DK, whatever.
Good.
Do you like re-poo-poo?
Yeah, whatever you don't like, don't tell John. Tell
so
him
I
you
love,
like something.
I love re-poo-poo. Call me re-poo-poo, please.
Cut that audio. Chucky, what's going on, Val?
Hey, listen. I mean, good win yesterday, but, I'm still not sold. I mean,
oh,
you know.
Chucky.
I'm just saying. What I'm saying, Dels, is just let's keep things in perspective, right?
Yeah.
You get to the playoffs, I don't know if you can win that way. I just don't. I mean, got to be other ways you could generate runs besides hitting.
Well,
home runs.
I get your point, Chuck, but like literally, the Texas Rangers won that way last season. Like they literally won the World Series strictly because they hit a bunch of home runs. Like that was their team. That's what they did. Corey Seager and Adolis Garcia and like Marcus Semien, all these dudes hit bombs game after game after game, and they won the World Series. It's not classically, historically, the way they go about it, but the game's changed in the last 20, 30 years. Like,
we're equipped to potentially do that. We're also equipped to potentially not do that and drive in all sorts of machinated runs. Like, I like that. I like that we're
have the ability. Developed.
Yeah, we have that. Like, it's almost like we're a car that can go up to 225 miles per hour.
Yeah, I think the issue is more, and Chuck, to your point, where people kind of get like this way about the team, where it's like they gotta, you know, get singles and drive the ball and stuff. I think it's just that they're a really hot and cold lineup. So it's like when they're not hitting at all, they'll hit all their home runs and all their hits at the same time, and they can't do stuff when they get all cold.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But that's a lot of lineups.
If they're hot, they win the World Series hands down. They're hot and go, you know, going into October,
yes,
or you know at the end of October, middle of October. They win the World Series.
And Chuck, they're working on how to perfect getting hot at the right time. Like, that's the whole key. That's what they are learning from the last couple seasons' worth of experience when they get to the postseason. You know, they haven't been able to turn it on quite enough when it mattered. You know, I think this year we've got a better chance than we've ever had before because of those failed attempts the last couple seasons.
I just would like to see us generate runs besides just hitting home runs. We were down 4-0. I mean, without those bombs, you know, we'd have lost that game. I mean, you know, I take it. But, I've seen in the playoffs.
You know, but I get your point, Chuck. But, you know, without the three runs worth of home runs that Matt Olson hit last night, the Braves only scored a run. You know what I mean? Like, I get your point. But, like, that's baseball, man. What do you got on the birds, Chucky?
I hear you. Hey, listen, I know what I'm about to say is Philly blasphemy, right? But Jason Kelce's a prima donna. And Jason
Kelce.
Oh,
Rain it in, Chuck. I know Jason. Hold on, Chuck. Real quick, I'm going to let you talk. Chuck, I'm going to let you talk. But real quick, I'm just telling you, like, I know Jason Kelce. Like, I know him personally. I'm just telling you, like, you're wrong about that.
Well, from my opinion, he's privileged. He's privileged to the Eagles. You know, I mean, there's no way in the world that a starting quarterback, a franchise quarterback like Jalen Hurst, should have had to take a back seat to a center.
Richie,
you know,
just said that they did it with Barrett Robbins and Rich Gannon. What are you talking about, Chuck?
Yeah,
Rich Gannon won the MVP, Chuck.
You got guys who divvy up that it's just a role.
Yeah.
It's like, how do we communicate this best? Well, if the center is better at you know, getting the message out the whole way to the tackle on both sides, he's going to make the declaration of the mic. And then maybe the quarterback makes the declaration of the call itself. He's going to make the adjustments. He's going to make the hard calls and the gap calls. Maybe the entire offensive line is making those calls, and they just echo everything. Every team is different. It's not a slap in Jalen's face that the center was taking
a Hall of Fame center.
Yeah, a big chunk of the responsibility. It should not be a slap. Now, maybe Jalen didn't like the way it was set up. He didn't prefer the way it was set up. It sounded like maybe there was some friction with that, with the
that
answer
decision,
yesterday.
Yeah.
But I've seen plenty of teams that have that divvied up in a bunch of different ways, and no one ever thought twice about it.
All right, what about the collaborative effort, though? What about being collaborative? I mean, it seemed like Jason Kelce was overriding Jalen Hurts, and that can't
hold
be.
On,
possibly.
Chuck, but also, real quick, Chuck, that was a coaching decision. Like Jalen said, he was told, like, that wasn't like Jason Kelce being like, Jalen, I got it. It was the coaches saying, we want Jason to handle this so you can worry about other things. Like, I get your point, but like, I don't think this has anything to do with Jason Kelce, like, other than him being the one calling the plays. Like, this is not like Jason Kelce chose to be the one to call the plays. The coaches said, we want Jason to do this, Jalen. You worry about
this
stuff.
This is going back to the coaches before the coaches of the Eagles. This is going back to Bill Walsh when he designed the offense, or, you know, like, even back before that. They decided that the center is the guy who makes the calls for the O-line, and the quarterback is the guy who makes the calls for everyone else, and they just figure out how to communicate that most effectively.
I just would like my starting franchise quarterback to be able to set his protections.
I agree.
And not be overruled.
And he can do it.
Well, now, now
he's going to do it. And also, we don't know how equipped he was to do it. Like, we've not seen him do it at the NFL level. Right, so it's going to be fascinating to see.
So, how responsible is Jason Kelce for the, I think he plays
a role in it. Absolutely. I think Jason Kelce does. I think Nick Sirianni does. I think Jalen does. I think they all do.
I'm glad he retired because I think he lost his step anyway.
Well, we disagree. We completely disagree on that.
I like Jason Kelce, but I'm not over the hill, over the top like everybody else is.
It's fine. Like, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, without a doubt, he was first team All Pro last year. I'm just saying, Chuck, I get it, but I understand what you're saying. Like, but people who watch,
I love Jason Kelce. Like, he can't do no wrong.
No,
he could do wrong.
All right, Chuck, you got an answer. I'm not saying he walks on water. I'm just saying he's a great football player. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame on his first ballot and was All Pro 6 years in a row, Chuck. Like, come on, man. Like, have some freaking eyes here, dude. You're smart. Be smarter than this. Like, you're taking one little statement that Jalen Hurts made and saying, oh, prima donna, it's on Jason Kelce. You want to call plays? Like, be smarter than that, Chuck. You're smarter than that.
He gives a speech at a damn Super Bowl parade. Everybody loves him.
No, he's a six-time. All right, Chuck. Good call. He's a six-time All-Pro. He is going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He has been an icon in this city. He's done amazing things for the community and stuff. Like, and again, that has nothing to do with him on the football field. On the football field, he is one of the three or four greatest players at his position in the history of the sport, statistically speaking. He is one of three centers who have made All-Pro first team six times. That's it. He's like Dermoni Dawson level. Like, I get where you're coming from, and I'm fine. Like, if you want to rip Jason for something that's fair, but to take one statement that Jalen Hurts said yesterday and transfer that to, like, Jason Kelce's a prima donna and he wanted to call the plays, and if Jalen had done it, it would have been better.
We don't even know if it was Jason
Kelce's
choice.
That's the point. I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure it was the head coach's choice or the offensive coordinator, or whatever it was. Chuck, I love you. I thought that was a nonsense call from you, buddy. I really did.
So I can understand. I don't even want to say I can understand where he's coming from, because I don't agree that I'm not going to say Jason Kelce's a prima donna. But I also understand what Jalen Hurts was trying to convey. And I don't think he was trying to, you know, throw Kelce under the bus with that.
I don't either.
With that answer at all. I think he was. It's like when you are a new employee and you come in and there's someone in a similar position, but they've been there for 50 years, you know, like that they're going to be more of a leader than
exactly.
you are. It's just the way it works. Like, they're not just going to hand the reins over to the guy who just started a couple of years ago.
And so. Richie. Yeah, exactly. And Richie, what have you talked about all these years with Jason Kelce being literally the smartest center you've ever been around?
I'm stunned.
Richie, I wish everyone could see Richie's face. He was just staring in complete shock into the abyss. You good?
Yeah, sometimes you got to go at Chuck. It's all right.
Chuck left you shook. Huh?
I'm stunned that this is... That
this is a discussion. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like it's
this
not.
Is just like
all you, we shouldn't do
every,
this.
Everyone's different. Every team is different. This is consistent across the board that centers and quarterbacks know how to set the protection. I guarantee Jalen has set the protection before on many teams, probably going back to middle school, elementary school. Jalen was probably calling the mic, pointing the mic, and declaring whether it was a gap or a slide or all that stuff. Like, he's running the show. Like, he knows how to do this stuff.
Yeah, so again, I love Chuck.
The all-pro center. It doesn't matter that much. And Jalen told us yesterday that he would have preferred that it was, run a different way. Now he's more comfortable with the way it's being run. That can only be good for us as Eagle fans. It's going to be more smooth. And I'm excited about the fact that the offensive line is going to do a better job of giving him time. That's the bottom line. That's the greatness of what Kellen Moore is going to do. Our quarterback will look more a quarterback, will look more the part. He will hit open guys who will look more open than they've ever looked before, because you can't cover guys like this for long enough. This offense is going to be unstoppable, Jimmy.
I hope
this offense is so exciting. Look at the talent. I mean, oozing out of that side of the football. I don't know on the defensive side exactly the way things are going to happen. I know it's going to be called smart, and that's good enough for me. Man, we should be really excited about the way this run game is going to make our offense go.
Love you, Chuck. Great call, but, sometimes we disagree. Let's talk to our buddy Ken in Cinnaminson. What up, Ken?
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Super, Ken.
Well, I tell you what, if you listen to WIP long enough, you're going to hear some really stupid stuff, but that might be the stupidest thing I've ever heard on WIP in my life.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but look, that's why I reacted the way I did, because I thought that was unfair.
And, James, you are the nicest person in the world. So when you hang up on somebody, that means Joe would have hung up on him 2 minutes earlier. Yeah,
Joe would not have taken a vast majority of that. I agree. Yeah.
And, Devin, don't feel bad. Don't let them make you feel bad. People are stunned at the fact that I have never seen Pretty Woman in my life.
Wow.
And they can't understand that. So, look.
It's fine to see Pretty Woman. That's not Pulp Fiction, though. Pulp Fiction is one of the great movies ever made, I get your point, and it's nice of you to give her a little pass here. But no passes on the morning show today. We didn't give Chuck one. We're not giving Dev one. Like, watch Pulp Fiction. I get nice of you, though, Ken. What's up,
buddy? Well, I agree with that. But Pretty Woman is Pulp Fiction to some people. So just
true, to like the camera.
Yeah,
sort of. It is entertaining. It's an entertaining movie. Like, if you're just not watching it now, Ken, because you haven't watched it in the past, I think you're missing out.
I feel when I tell my wife that she's never watched The Dirty Dozen. She's missing out.
Should try watching The Dirty Dozen. I can tell you from my experience, I still thought it stunk after being forced to watch The Dirty Dozen. Maybe your wife will have a better experience than I did.
That's blasphemy, John. That's blasphemy.
That's what I hear. I don't think it's worth it.
What do you got on the Phils, Ken?
Before I get to the Phils real quick, I just want to say I hate that entire answer that Jalen gave yesterday. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Because to me,
felt passive aggressive.
I'm still waiting to hear Jalen Hurts take accountability for anything. And so I just hate it. I mean, I know he's a cerebral guy, but I just hate it.
I think that is a fair interpretation of it. I think you can look at it and say he kind of shirked blame on that. I get that. That's a fair way to look at it.
So on the Phillies, two things. It might turn out that Wednesday's 10-0 debacle that left me nearly catatonic by the time I left might be the best 10-0 loss in the history of the franchise, because they can no longer pretend that there's something redeeming that they're seeing in Taijuan Walker that the rest of us aren't seeing. So in the long run, it was probably worth that display. Last night, listening to the post-game live, and Ruben was talking about he ran into Dave Dombrowski in the hallway.
He was like, "You guys don't got it tonight." That was hilarious.
I don't have a chance.
Wait, who said that?
So in the postgame show, Ruben told a story where in like the fourth inning, he ran into Dombrowski around the stadium and said to Dombrowski, "You guys don't have a chance tonight, huh?"
Like, no way.
Yeah, and then he looked like an idiot later, obviously, yeah.
Which
very funny story from Ruben.
Brandon Marsh may have very well hit the biggest home run of the season. And he probably is one of the least likely guys.
Unless Nick Castellanos hit it an inning later,
You want to talk about a guy that has quietly been locked in
Yeah, Marcia's turned it around.
Well, I'm talking about Cassidy. I mean, I've always been a Cassidy guy. It was hard to stay on the ship at the beginning of the season, right? Because it just looked bad. But you know, and I love when Nick Castellanos does something that makes him a post game interview that you get to listen to, because it is the best post game interview of any Major League Baseball player. He is such a thought provoking guy, and the way his brain works. I would love to be able to study it for science.
So, Ken, later in the show, and we're not going to get to it yet, but later in the show, it's an off-the-beaten-path thing. I'm going to play some Nick Castellanos audio that, for this specific reason, I think you're going to love. It's a thought Castellanos has about the sport of baseball that I think he is so unbelievably dead-on correct with. That's coming up later. Ken, you got an answer for a 90s character?
Tyler Durden.
Oh, great answer.
Is that 90?
Yeah. Oh, Fight Club's absolutely 90s, yeah. For sure, 100%. I want to say 99, maybe?
Yeah, later 90s.
It's late 90s, but 100% 90s. All right, 215-592-9494. We're back to the phones in a sec. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, we've talked a lot this morning. 1 week from today, we're going to be waking up. Well, we'll already be long awake, the three of us. But people will be waking up saying, oh, my God. It's Friday in September, and the Eagles are playing football at night. And that game will be in Brazil. Yesterday, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith were asked about. Let's start with A.J. We were already, you know, we've heard a lot of rumors and things about, as this kind of leads up to it, about like, oh, you know, like be a little careful in Sao Paulo. There's some crime or, you know, this or that or whatever is going on. It seems like the NFL has told the players something similar. Here's what A.J. Brown said yesterday about the whole Brazil trip.
We had a meeting yesterday, and it was like a whole bunch of don't do's. And so I'm just trying to go down there, win a football game, and come back home. That's the best way I can put it. After hearing all this stuff, you know, I'm probably going to be in my room.
What were you told not to do?
A lot, honestly. Things that we would normally do here, even simple as just walking down the street with your phone in your hand and stuff like that, like, which is kind of crazy. So,
Devontae Smith also doesn't seem to be a huge fan of going to Brazil.
Devontae, what are your thoughts on playing in Brazil, going, you know, quite a distance to play your...
Say it again.
What are your thoughts on playing in Brazil, going this great distance to play a game?
No comment.
Really? Not excited? You're not...
It's football. Just line up.
He is the best Devontae of all time. I love it. But what do you guys make? Devin, the whole Brazil thing, you've been all over this from the beginning, tracking and all that. Like, it's one thing for fans to say, like, oh, you know, watch out for this. It's another thing where players are saying they don't want to walk down the street with their phone out. They're going to stay there in the room the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird situation for something like this.
It's a weird situation. I think if I was the players, I get it. I probably wouldn't be super excited, especially now it's, you know, the possible dangers. I know that there's been debate over whether that's legitimate or not.
Fear-mongering, all kind of stuff.
But now there are, like, severe wildfires. There's
all kinds of
viruses going around, apparently. Like, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot going on. I don't love that they're taking away a home game from Philadelphia.
Of course. No Eagles fan likes that, particularly the Packers game.
I hope it doesn't affect the play. The good thing, I guess, if you can call it a good thing, is
both
that
teams
both teams
through,
are doing this. Like, it's not like the Packers are playing a home game here either. But what Devontae said, I mean, just line up. You know, once you get to the game, it's the game. It's, you just hope that beforehand it doesn't affect them too much.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And it's just the weirdness of it. John, you've always
I think this is ridiculous that the guys have to worry upon worry. There's added layers of concern. It's just wrong. The NFL is trying so hard to jam a square peg into a round hole with a lot of these things. Like, they don't care in some countries where they play soccer about our football the way that the NFL wants them to. But, you know, come hell or high water, they're going to keep trying to cram this down everyone's throat. It has gotten to the point with this one where it's too far. Like, if the players are afraid to leave their room, if that's legit, like, stop. Stop doing
this. Don't go to Brazil to play a football
game. Exactly. Yeah. You have pressed the limits too far when you are now playing in a place where the players themselves are fearful.
It's a great point, John. It really is. It's a great. They should. They're going to play a football game in another country. They shouldn't have to worry about more than that. It's a
no.
Great
point. This yeah. is wrong.
It's a really good point.
Stop. Reverse out. Get you know.
Is there a chance that they could pull a pivot? Or are we too
last
close?
Minute? No, I think we're too close. I think we're too close because too many people
and
bought tickets.
And unfortunately, we're the crash test
dummy.
Yeah,
and that's the problem.
And I don't like the way that feels.
I don't
like this, but I guess we deal with it and we have to roll. We have to try
I'm
to stay
also,
focused on the prize
I'm
here.
I'm glad
right?
it's week one, too, so they can play the game.
Oh,
I and
hate
then we
that
can
it's
just
week
kind
one.
Of. Well,
oh,
I
hate
it. But I like that it's not.
See, I don't
it's
like
not
starting
something the players have to think about.
See, I disagree. I think think about yes, but I think it's more the starting your season off on such a
yeah,
weird
it's
note,
weird.
And then I'm going to jump
weird.
Into the other games. Like,
I agree
I don't
with
know
you
if there's
that.
A perfect time to do it. I think heading into
so
a bye week. Don't do it. Heading into a bye week is probably what I would like the most, but you know, it is what it is. Let's talk to John in Plymouth meeting. What up, Johnny?
Hey, how's it going? I want to talk Eagles.
Lay it on us.
I'm a little disturbed by, Jalen's comment. Like, anybody that watched that Kelce documentary on Amazon Prime last season could have told you Kelce was going to retire after last season. So why didn't the coaches get him ready?
You know what? John, that's a really interesting question. Like, the forgetting the Kelce part or whatever, it's like, why weren't the coaches saying, hey, Jalen, this is you next year. Like, this is your thing. Like, even if Jason's going to be doing it, like, I don't like the way that was my biggest issue, John, when I first heard the response from Jalen was the whole, like, well, my learning was halted, and that was it, and I guess I'll do it this year. It was like, well, why can't Jason do it, but you learn from that? Like, why can't you, like, isn't it still a learning process? I'm with you, John. That was a little strange, that part of it.
Yeah, I totally, and I kind of like how, like, he says my learning experience was halted. Like, the choice of words he used, like, halted. Like, I was like, what do you mean halted? Like,
yeah, like, he was told you can't learn this anymore.
Halted,
like,
was a
don't
choice
even,
of
yeah,
word.
Right? It
halted
is. And he's
bit.
Very intentional, as we know, with his word choices.
So,
yeah, John, I think that's... fascinating point. You got an answer for a 90s character?
I do. So I won Monday with vacation. So I don't want to win. I want to give an answer, but by no means do I want to win. But I just want to make it a little tougher for everybody else. Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas, Joe Pesci.
That's a great answer. That is a really good answer. He is.
Wow.
He's like, I don't want to win, but I want to make it the hardest possible non-winner. That is a great, great answer. We have a little sad news to report, actually. We had heard a potential rumor about it. We didn't want to put anything out there without any actual information. But the Columbus Blue Jackets have put out a statement. And it's on the passing of a local guy, sadly. Johnny Gaudreau. Johnny Hockey. Everyone knew him as a local kid. Made good. The Flames. Then the Blue Jackets. Apparently last night, sadly, Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew passed away. In a car accident. Here's, I'm going to read you the statement from the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Columbus Blue Jackets are shocked and devastated by the unimaginable tragedy. Johnny was not only a great hockey player, but more significantly a loving husband, father, son, brother, and friend. We extend our heartfelt sympathies to his wife, Meredith, his children, Noah and Johnny, his parents, their family, and their friends on the sudden loss of Johnny and Matthew. Johnny played the game with great joy, which was felt by everyone that saw him on the ice. He brought a genuine love for hockey with everything with him everywhere he played, from Boston College to the Calgary Flames to Team USA to the Blue Jackets. He thrilled fans in a way that only Johnny Hockey could. The impact he had on our organization and our sport was profound, but pales in comparison to the incredible impression he made on everyone who knew him. Johnny embraced our community when he arrived 2 years ago and Columbus welcomed him with open arms. We will miss him terribly and do everything that we can to support him and his family and each other through this tragedy. At this time, we ask for prayers for the Gaudreau family and that their privacy be respected as they grieve. Obviously, Johnny, a local kid. I know my cousin played against him in hockey back in the day, knew Johnny. And
so sad.
It's they use the word unimaginable. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the word. You know,
so
you
shocking.
Read it, and for his family, for his parents. For his wife, for his children. It is just an incredibly, incredibly sad, sad thing. It's rare, you know, that we don't see many. We Jerome Brown in this city. We don't see many athletes while they're still playing who pass away, like, at such a young age, you know. We had Halliday, but he was retired, but still a young age. It's just really, really sad. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers, and I know that doesn't do much for them now, but go out to his family and anyone who knew Johnny, because I know Johnny was a real part of this of the local hockey scene and of Philadelphia, and it was a local kid made good, you know, amazing career and seemed like a wonderful person. You know, thoughts and prayers, our deepest sympathies go out to his family on a really, really sad day. All right, we'll come back, we'll regroup, we'll take your calls. It's the morning show. We're coming right back.